Oh my God, I'm so full of spit.
The way I like it.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did.
Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen. You're not showering. Done with you, season two. My house is still fully decorated for Christmas, and it's giving me anxiety, friend.
And I'm Bethany, your color-wearing, three-drink-having, laundry-dreading friend. I have Diet Coke, I have iced tea, and I have a water.
You have so many beverages in front of you right now. And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about
anxiety and how it plays a role in making you not do things, like small daily things.
Oh, yeah. I'm the queen of that.
Yeah. And how you can fix it. This came because I've talked about my anxiety surrounding laundry day.
Uh-huh.
Not that I love doing laundry, but I can't because I don't have any room and there's no space.
You don't have a washer dryer in your house.
Yeah. And my landlord won't let me use the one in the building. And so I have to send my laundry out. And the act of sending it out is such a high anxiety thing for me that I have bags of laundry from before Christmas that I still haven't sent out. And I decided to look into why this is such a thing and came up with some pretty interesting information.
You know what? I am ready to sit cross-legged at your feet for story time because this is my everyday life.
Yeah, we all, I think, have a thing that we're dreading doing. That's like a daily task.
Yep.
Yeah. What about you, Kathleen? What are we talking about?
So I have weird news bulletin board.
Yay!
The community center of the Acquired Taste podcast has a huge bulletin board right at the entrance, and it's all tacked with weird news stories, and so I'm just plucking a couple off the board today to read to you.
Yeah, Maggie is offering to walk your corgis, but someone put a poster over her dog walking sign.
Do you know there's like this thing happening in Colorado? I don't want to say too much. But
until we get into the segment.
Until we get into the segment, but it's like really.
I have theories. So
it's
creepy. There are drones that are appearing in the night sky over Colorado, and like people don't know why. And I have a theory, but we'll talk about it in a little bit.
Can I tell you why my life is a mess right now?
Yes.
I have not showered for 2 days.
You don't look like it. You came in looking profoundly put together, and I don't know how.
And it's like one of those days where I've been focusing since the new year, I've been focusing on getting more sleep, but that has really cut into my showering time.
As it does.
It's Monday afternoon. And the last time I showered was Saturday afternoon.
I feel like there are also, if you don't shower by a certain time of day that day, you're not going to shower that
day. I know. And so it's like, I haven't gotten to it yet. And so I'm really dirty and I went to go put dry shampoo in my hair and I'm all out of dry shampoo.
No.
So I have like buckets of baby powder in my hair right now. So if the light hits me in just a certain way, Bethany, and you're thinking looking a little gray, it's not because I'm like mysteriously getting older overnight. It's the baby powder.
It looks really good.
Thank you.
Hair sort of half pulled up and it's poofy and it looks great. You look very, very chic.
Oh, I appreciate your kind words. And I'm wearing a dress that I bought for a funeral for someone who's not dead yet. Because I just didn't have anything else that was clean. And it was black, and I like I'm not showered, so it covers up the dirt.
Well, it is a great dress.
You're going
to look amazing at that funeral.
When that person does happen to die,
It's like in Fleabag season two. No, it's not. Remember Fleabag season two where it's her mother's funeral, and they keep flashing back to how amazing she looked that day?
That's right.
And like she couldn't help it, and people just kept saying, oh my gosh, you look amazing.
You look
I know. I know. I look radiant today.
Do you remember, I was thinking like the only funeral that really somebody close to me died was my grandma's. I guess maybe, God, that was 15 years ago. I don't remember what I was wearing at her funeral. Like, do you remember the last really important person in your life who died? Do you remember what you were wearing at their funeral?
No.
I can't remember.
No, I remember my grandmother's funeral. I was wearing a black dress that my sister had to help me pin.
Okay.
And I wrote a college essay about it, like a college entrance exam essay.
That's the most Bethany thing I've ever heard.
It was called Pinned Together. It was like, it was about how I couldn't pin it myself and I needed my sister to help me because it was in the back, and thus that's how moments of loss bring us together. It was total bullshit.
No, that's actually, it's not bullshit.
I mean, it I sort of pulled it out of nowhere, and it was really dumb. But I remember the dress, probably pretty gothy.
Oh, you know what my college essay was about? What? I used to be like a volunteer counselor at like a performing arts camp.
Nice.
Near my house when I was in high school, and my my college essay was how I taught a little boy to dance.
Oh my gosh! Did it get you into college?
It did get me into college. It sure did.
I think I told you about the other one. I've talked years ago on this podcast about the other one I wrote that was clearly just pulled out of my butt. It was about how mother dolphins, when the baby is born, mother dolphins have to push the baby up to the surface of the water for the baby to get its first breath. It's not going to do it itself.
That's actually really beautiful.
And like the mother dolphin, St. Cloud State University would push me to reach higher levels of thinking.
No, you
and
didn't.
It was awful. And it got me in to St. Cloud State University.
No, you didn't, Bethany. No. Which,
I was like,
I can't breathe.
I was so angry that I had to write these. And it got me in. I was there for 2 years until I left because they all lost their accreditation for theater.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of infighting.
Oh, my goodness, Bethany. I can't.
You can use that. Next time you have to write something, you can use that mother dolphin thing. I'll give it to you freely.
It's beautiful and scientific.
And it works for anything. Just like the mother dolphin, you know, DeVry University will push me to greater heights. Just like the mother dolphin, Chase Bank will push me to more financial freedom. Just like the mother dolphin,
my Amazon purchases will push me to greater freedom.
Exactly.
Did you see the Golden Globes last night?
Nope.
Really?
No, I don't have a TV thing. I don't have cable. Oh, and I don't have the right streaming subscriptions.
I always forget that.
And also, I don't know. I knew it was going to turn into like everyone loving / hating Ricky Gervais. And I don't care.
I don't like him.
I don't care about him.
So the Joker one.
Yes.
Let me clarify that.
I think
it was Joaquin Phoenix won for best
actor
something.
Yeah.
And so there's all this controversy behind the movie The Joker.
Yeah.
It's that it glorifies I don't know if I fully believe this, so I think it's kind of interesting. People are saying that it glorifies the life of a man with mental illness who then turned to violence to like make himself feel better, right?
Which I don't understand anyone feeling that way who's seen the movie.
I didn't feel that way when I walked away seeing the movie. And they're saying that he blamed all of his problems on his mother, which is like men blaming all of their problems on women. I don't know, but anyway, there's a whole like controversy and there's a lot of stories out there today because he won the Golden Globes last night.
Look, his performance was amazing.
It was amazing.
He clearly took like a big swing. He made a lot of really big choices. Some people didn't like them, but you have to give him credit for going full in on this character and like taking really big risks.
I mean, it was one of the best movies I've seen in a while.
I enjoyed it. And I also really liked it because it made a comment on the fact that mental health is so important to take care of.
And help isn't always accessible when you're poor.
Exactly. I think that's what the movie is about.
Yeah.
And not to put blame on like people with mental illness becoming criminals. I don't think that that's what it's saying. I think it's saying like he desperately wanted to be okay. He lost, like, he wasn't able to get the medicine he needed.
He didn't have a good support system.
Yep, and the organization that was helping him get his medicine shut down due to budget cuts.
Yeah.
So he, like, wasn't able to get this medication and all of these other issues. I thought it raised good issues, you know. Mm. I don't think it glorified anything. His life sucked, and it looked awful.
My girl Gwyneth Paltrow last night at the Golden Globes wearing this see-through dress where the necklace was underneath the see-through part of the dress.
Okay, I have to look this up.
She looked gorgeous. Speaking of Gwyneth Paltrow, she's getting her own Goop Netflix show called... Did you see the trailer for this? It just came out today. It's called Goop Lab, and it's a 6-episode miniseries, and the trailer just dropped.
I hate it. I hate it already. I hate it.
It kind of looks like the sort of upper middle class... millennial woman's version of real sex on HBO.
Except she's not millennial. She's like 50.
She's not a millennial, but I probably everybody that works for her is a millennial.
Probably.
Mashable, I thought the trailer looked good. Mashable.com is describing it as Fear Factor for people with more money. And it addresses hard-hitting topics like psychedelics, cold therapy, female pleasure, anti-aging, energy healing, and psychics.
And I'm sorry, what's it about? She's just talking about these things?
It's like sort of like each episode explores a new topic. You know, do you remember sneak watching Real Sex as a little kid?
No, I don't know
HBO?
What that is.
You don't know the show Real Sex?
No.
Oh, it was like this series on HBO in the 90s and the early 2000s. And each episode explored like a different facet of the underground world of sex. Like people with latex fetishes or like people with, I don't know, all sorts of. And you would every now and then you'd catch a glimpse of a boob or like 3 seconds of like people actually having sex.
Whoa.
But it was more of like an exploratory documentary type thing.
Yeah.
And so this is what this Goop Lab thing is. Only 6 episodes.
By the way, I like the new word exploramentary.
Exploramentary.
That's a great word.
It comes out January 24th for anyone who's interested.
Right on.
I'm interested. I'm going to be watching.
I mean, I think a lot of people will be hate watching. I think that's probably what Netflix is banking on. One more quick thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of Netflix, have you watched Glow Up?
I haven't.
It is the makeup competition show. And I like it very much.
So I started watching it.
Yeah.
And then I stopped and I said, I don't want Netflix to recommend this to me anymore. So I gave it a thumbs down.
Oh, why didn't you like it?
I'm not like really into, I know like everybody keeps talking to me about that other one, the Pinterest fail show. Mm. What's it called?
Oh, Nailed It.
Nailed It.
I love Nailed It.
I'm just like not into reality shows like that.
Yeah. I like Nailed It because I'm a big Nicole Byer fan. I also belly laugh every time they reveal what they have done and they compare it to the real thing.
Maybe I need to give it another chance.
Belly laugh. I have not laughed from a show that hard in a long time because it's all done with love. Yeah. They're not making fun of anyone. It's like, you tried real hard. It's called Nailed It. And like the people reveal these horror shows of a cake they make with glee and pride.
And they're so proud of it.
And they're awful, and everyone knows it. It's like that's the only reality show competition I would want to be on. You know, is Nailed It.
Looking at the joy in your face right now, describing the show Nailed It. I think maybe I need to go back and give it a second chance, and maybe Glow Up will give a second chance also.
If you're only gonna do one, do Nailed It. Watch the Nailed It holiday episode with Jason Mantzoukas as a guest judge because he is fantastic.
Okay.
And I don't remember what it's called, but just like Google it and you'll find it. It's fantastic.
Can we just talk about quickly about these beverages in front of us?
Yeah.
You have 6 water bottles in front of you.
I have 3. Don't be hyperbolic.
But the one thing you are drinking is Diet Coke from a can.
Yeah, I haven't had a Diet Coke in forever.
That's the most important word, Diet Coke from a can.
From a can, better than anything else.
Only from a can.
Unless it's a fountain Diet Coke.
Yes.
But I like a fountain soda Diet Coke 1. Number 2, can. Number 3, bottle.
No, ew, bottle, no.
Bottle, no. Won't stay cold, doesn't look as good in my hand.
Bottle, no, can only.
Can of Coke in my hand looks look at this. Looks fantastic.
And when it's extra cold.
Oh, so cold.
Diet Coke in a can just tastes so good.
What about you? You're drinking a LaCroix.
LaCroix.
What flavor?
Coconut.
Do you actually not like LaCroix?
No, I love LaCroix.
So many people are like, I don't actually like
it. No, I love it. And they're coming out with a new flavor this year, limoncello.
Oh!
How is that different than regular lemon? Like,
it's cello.
How is their lime different than their key lime?
Lime is bad. Key lime's better.
Mysteries of the universe. How are they different? I need to do a side-by-side taste test.
Maybe we'll do a taste test when the limoncello comes out, too. Okay. And then we're just going to have real limoncello, which is my favorite. If you want to send us limoncello.
No.
P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030. I love a limoncello. If you are someone who has to dress up for work, you know that that's not always the most comfortable thing in the world.
No, when that waistband is digging into your stomach.
That is why Kathleen and I love Beta Brand. They have their dress pant yoga pants.
Dress pant yoga pant.
And look, if you're thinking, oh God, like these can't look good, they look good. They look like pants.
We were as shocked as you were when we checked out Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pant.
Yeah.
You have to get yourself a pair.
You don't have to sacrifice comfort or function for style. So Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants are super comfortable. They're perfectly stretchy. They also stay wrinkle free, but they have all of the style of dress pants just with the fit and the stretch of yoga pants.
Yes. You know, when you have to run up a flight of stairs, you know, you're late to a meeting.
Yeah.
You better be wearing your dress pant, yoga pant.
And if you're feeling kind of bloated or gross or just, dress pant, yoga pant.
Yes, they are the perfect pant for the busy human who wants to look great and doesn't have time to be distracted by uncomfortable clothing.
So Beta Brand has dozens of colors, patterns, cuts, and styles. They have straight leg, skinny, cropped, if you're like me and you know you love a boot cut.
Uh-huh.
They even have a pair with 8 pockets. I don't know where all those pockets are. Maybe there's a pocket down at the hem. Who knows?
I could use 8 pockets.
You got so many things. You can put your secrets.
I got lipsticks.
Keys, lipsticks.
Lotions.
Lotions.
Dead bodies.
Bodies. Some ticket stubs. And a secret.
So right now, our Acquired Taste listeners can get 20% off of their first order. All you have to do is go to betabrand.com/taste.
That's 20% off your first order at betabrand.com/taste. That's BETABRAND.com/taste.
Millions of people agree that these are the most comfortable pants that you will ever, ever wear to work.
Go to betabrand.com/taste for 20% off. So 2.5 full bags of laundry that I can't even close prove that I have a problem. And I also am wearing...
You look like a reporter in... who's on the field in the Middle East.
You said I look like Christiane Amanpour.
You do.
So it's because I am not wearing any clothes I normally wear because all of my clothes are dirty. And the issue is that I do not live anywhere near my front door. And my building does not have intercom. And I do not have access to laundry services. And so when I have to send my laundry out, and when the laundry person comes to my house and they buzz, it takes me a long time to get down to the front door anyway. But also, I am carrying bags of laundry that are thumping down after me.
Yeah.
It's making a ton of noise. So my landlords are like, what is happening?
And then you're sweating.
I'm sweating. And then I'm afraid that by the time I get there, the person will have left because there's no intercom to talk to them and say, like, please wait.
Life without a washer dryer is a struggle. And people who have it in their houses or their apartments are very lucky, and they don't know how blessed that they are.
You don't know how lucky you are to have it. And so this is such a ridiculously over dramatic high anxiety thing that I have about laundry.
It's not ridiculous.
It is, like, we all have that thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Kathleen, what do you, like, a daily task that you put off forever because for some reason it makes you so stressed out?
Going to the post office.
Oh, really?
I can't do it.
Really?
Bethany, I'm supposed to mail out something in July that I just mailed out because I cannot go to the post office. My cousin left his very expensive electric toothbrush at my house in August. He's been begging me to mail it back to him,
honey,
since August, and I can't do it, Bethany. I hate going to the post office.
I need to give you my stamps.com scale.
I know.
I'll give you my stamps.com account, and you can use it.
Okay.
So one of the things I was thinking is, okay, what are some steps I can do to just do the thing that I'm
dreading? Stuff done.
Get stuff done.
To, like, wake up and say, today's the day.
Yes, exactly.
Bethany, if there's anyone in this world who understands your pain, it is me. I have not had a washer dryer for 8 years.
Sucks. And it sucks.
Sucks ass.
It sucks. Part of the reason I think I have so many clothes is because I buy them because I run out of clothes to wear.
Oh.
And so I buy, like, something, you know, I go to, like, there's like 17 vintage stores on my way here.
Yeah.
I go in, I buy new clothes just so that I don't have to.
You don't have to clean clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
I say that all the time to my mom.
Yep.
I bring my laundry to her, but my husband sends his laundry away. I have this thing with people I don't know touching my unmentionables. I can't let it happen. And also something that I can apply to this is working out. Like, I have a lot of anxiety around working out and getting that done. But you always feel better when you come back from the gym
so
or wherever.
Much better. And even better the next morning for me.
Yes.
When I wake up after working out the day previous, I wake up significantly happier.
It's like sex. It's like, once you get it done, you're like, why don't we do this more?
Like, oh, that's over with.
Like, no. Like, that was amazing. What is it exactly that was keeping us from doing this?
Why am I so filled with anxiety about this one stupid daily task?
And
it's also, there are many other daily tasks that I feel this level of anxiety about.
Yeah.
And they present themselves in different ways.
Dishes.
Sometimes it's an email.
Tiny little things. I understand.
And so I decided to look up, why are these small things stressing me out?
Yeah.
And there is a reason. It is a thing. And it is a thing called avoidance coping.
Avoidance coping.
Now, full disclosure, once again, I am not a specialist nor an expert in psychology. I am a cursory searching the Googles for this information. So I might not get everything perfect, but I'm going to cite my sources so you can, like, look yourself.
Avoidance coping. This is a term I've never heard before, but I feel like you're describing me.
So the articles I was reading talk about avoidance coping in terms of people who have anxiety disorder, clinically diagnosed anxiety disorder.
Which both you and I have.
Ding, 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 medicated for it. By its definition, anxiety just kind of makes everyday tasks feel really overwhelming. But avoidance is a common symptom of anxiety disorder. So a lot of anxious people would prefer to stay home where it feels safe.
Yeah.
And where we feel more in control of our environment than go out and about and do these things.
Yeah.
Avoidance coping is someone with anxiety who is just choosing to avoid the thing that causes them anxiety. But because they're avoiding it, it gets worse and worse and worse.
Oh, my
God. And they feel more and more and more anxiety.
You're blowing my mind right now.
It exploded my brain. It was that relief you feel when something that makes you feel nuts is a real thing and you read about it and other people feel it too.
Because now I feel like, now that I know the name for it, I can more easily just say to myself, hello, dummy, you're avoidance coping right now.
You're avoidance coping.
Just get it done.
I was looking online and there's all of these different articles about like how to do the things you don't want to do. And they're so aggressive.
Yeah.
They're just like, force yourself to do it, make it happen and just get it done. And this explains why it's so hard. So there are ways that you can overcome this.
Okay.
And this is from Psychology Today by Alice Boyce, PhD.
I really love that website.
Oh, it's so great. It's so great. So the first thing, recognize that it doesn't work. Ask yourself, what have you been trying to avoid? Kathleen, you are avoiding mailing things. Now, are you feeling anxious about it?
Yeah.
Do you feel like...
I feel guilty.
You feel guilty?
Yeah.
What else do you feel? Do you feel overwhelmed?
I feel overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I feel unorganized.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like not a good person because all my cousin wants is his toothbrush back.
And so it makes sense that, A, you feel all of those things because you didn't go to the post office. But now you're feeling those things because it's been so long.
Yes.
And so you're avoiding those feelings by avoiding the post office.
And
so
I'm embarrassed.
Yes. So now you're trying to avoid all of those crappy feelings and the post office.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And my cousin's text messages.
It feels awful.
When he's like, hey, did you send my toothbrush back yet? I'm like, sorry, dude. It's been a crazy week.
Brad's been real busy. The last 6 months have been so busy. Okay,
it
number two.
It sounds so ridiculous now that we know exactly what this is.
When you say it out loud, yeah. Number two, recognize the costs of avoidance coping. So what does it cost you? How much time and mental energy has this avoidance sucked up? Has it impacted your health? Has it affected your relationships?
Yeah.
Has it affected your sense of yourself as a competent person? Which I think, Kathleen, is ding, ding, ding for you.
Yeah, of course.
Because it makes you feel not organized.
I mean, your laundry, is it ever like around when Dennis comes over? And
it's everywhere.
Do you feel embarrassed?
Totally, totally embarrassed, especially because his house looks like a model home.
Oh, Dennis.
And my house is, there's stuff everywhere and it is all little piles of anxiety.
Yeah.
Mail, I am too anxious to go through. Plates, I am too anxious to even put into the dishwasher. Even talking about this now, I feel like a big old mess.
Or like just the simple act of folding laundry and putting it away. So your laundry comes already folded.
Not in any order. So I still have to go through and redo all of it.
And like, so I do my laundry at my mom's house for the most part, and I'm always like doing it last second. So when it comes out of the dryer, I just toss it into my laundry basket or whatever. So I have to come home and actually fold it. Just that act right there gives me so much anxiety.
It's just crazy that these little things have so much power over us. So this is one I really, really liked. Number three, I know I really like this just realism. Learn to tolerate uncomfortable thoughts and feelings. For me, I'm afraid of the discomfort and the panic of the moment that I have to bring the laundry downstairs. That's what does it for me. You need to learn how to tolerate these thoughts and feelings that you would rather not experience. They will naturally pass. Thoughts and feelings are temporary.
Yeah.
So if you just accept the fact that there's going to be discomfort in life, you're not promised an easy life. And so if you can handle it, you don't need to use the avoidance coping. If you can feel like, oh, I feel like an ass. I haven't sent this toothbrush.
Just get it done.
I feel crappy about myself as a result. This is going to suck. I'm going to hate every second of it. Let's go to the post office. Then you're not deluding yourself by thinking, if I don't do it now, I won't feel bad.
I think a lot of people have this issue with their taxes, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, tax day is looming.
Kathleen, it's so funny you just said that. I just had to talk to somebody about taxes, and she needed me to send her documents. I was nauseous for 3 days just from tax stress over like gathering documents and doing it because it was so filled with anxiety.
Yeah. It's a good reason to stay organized.
It really is.
So things that can help, if you are prepared to experience anxiety, that will help you feel less anxiety.
Tell me how I can be more prepared.
Yeah. So
this is a life lesson I think we all need to learn.
One thing you can try to do is teach yourself to soften your body rather than tense up when you feel something really stressful, when you feel a stressful thought or emotion.
Soften your body.
Soften your body. So instead of getting tense, teach yourself to just take deep breaths. That's going to slow your heart rate down. That's going to make it easier for you to think more clearly.
Yeah.
That's just something you want to get into the habit of. When you feel uncomfortable emotions, teach yourself to relax.
When I'm walking into a place that I don't want to be, like a hospital or a doctor's office, I'll do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let the air flow through every inch of your body and then relax everything. Yeah.
Your brain needs oxygen in order to work.
Yeah.
Also, this is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Learn to recognize that thoughts are often distorted, so you can't always trust negative thoughts you have.
Are you calling me messed up?
I am.
You're calling me messed up?
I am.
My thoughts are not distorted.
Think about how we felt so relieved when we both said out loud what we were thinking because it seemed really small and kind of petty. Our thoughts always seem much bigger than they actually are. So the things that you think are going to happen or the uncomfortable feelings you think you're going to have, they might not be that big. Use diffusion skills to reduce the psychological grip of intrusive thoughts.
Use diffusion skills to
reduce the psychological grip of intrusive thoughts. So they're going to seem weird, but they're actually really effective.
No,
so
this
for
doesn't
example,
seem weird at all.
For example.
Is it lavender diffusion?
No, it's better. Singing your intrusive thoughts to the tune of a familiar song.
That's what Oprah does.
Really?
Yeah, you know, she goes, you know, Oprah's always singing. She's like, ah, ah.
Yeah. She does. But this is for like bad things. So it's like, I think I'm going to die because I got to go mail and I think it's going to kill me, but I got to do it anyway.
Yeah, or somebody has wronged you, like your boyfriend or your girlfriend or whatever broke up with you. And you're like, he's a crazy fucking asshole.
Yes, exactly. It helps. It works.
It does.
It works.
Bethany, sing one for you right now.
I have bags and bags of laundry that are sitting in my bathroom and I think they're gonna kill me, but they're probably just a bag and I gotta take them downstairs and the guy is gonna wait because he's never not waited and he's actually really nice.
You know what?
What's yours?
You guys couldn't see. So when Bethany was singing that, I was dancing and then right as I knew she was gonna end, I did like jazz hands. Bethany, that was beautiful.
Thank you. Now you sing one about mail.
Okay. I have to mail my cousin's toothbrush because he came to my house in August and left it there. And it's one of those fancy toothbrushes that are powered by batteries. Woo! And then he hasn't brushed his teeth in 6 months. And it's up to me to save his oral health.
It helps.
This feels so good.
Yeah, it feels much better. Feels so much better.
I like want to cry. I'm so happy right now. Let's do more problems.
I really want someone to like remix those songs, by the way. If you are a DJ and you make beats, and I know there are a lot of you out there. When I was on Bumble, everyone I saw was a DJ.
There's a lot of you DJs out there.
You're also entrepreneurs, apparently.
Dolphin trainers.
And dolphin trainers. Never forgot about that one. My dolphin's an asshole. Please help.
And then he blocked me. He blocked you. You're a dolphin trainer. Find humor in the fact that you're a dolphin trainer.
Also, you're not a dolphin trainer, and you know it.
It's New York City. Where in New York City are you a dolphin trainer?
You're dolphins. Okay, really quickly, this is from the same person. 6 tips for overcoming anxiety-related procrastination. Okay. So
the singing one is really good.
Here's a couple more. Simplify by giving some restraints to yourself. Do just one thing at a time, and like do it for 10 minutes, and then stop.
One envelope at a time.
Yep.
Every day.
Yep.
Or Bethany, you could send out your jeans one day.
Yeah. Just little things at a time.
Huh.
Or walk them over. Then I can walk them over myself.
Yes.
And then do a little and then get up. So if you have to write something, write a sentence, then get up and get yourself some coffee. Like reward yourself for small increments. Make like one envelope, Kathleen, get up and get some coffee.
You know, you just said write one sentence and get up and and I'm laughing. I'm laughing because I have this dream of writing a book, but I can only ever write 1st sentences. Like today I came up with a really good one. You want to hear it?
Yep.
He was very proud of us but he also tortured us.
Oh, right?
That's a good, that might be the winner. I might have to actually write the rest of the book this time.
Do you know what it's about, or you just get these first sentences in your
head? No, I know what it's about. Do you want me, I don't want to tell you in case I actually do write this book.
No, you should keep it secret.
Yeah.
Keep it separated. Yeah. Okay, so if your procrastination is because you feel like your working memory is overwhelmed, you just get all of these notices at once. She says get 31 file folders.
Okay.
Put the day of the month on each one. One, two, three, four, five, so whatever. File them in whichever day you have to give a fuck. And then you just worry about whatever is in your today file folder and stop caring about the rest of the day's file folders. And then you know which things you have to worry about, which things you don't.
That's genius.
Yeah. You can call it like give it a fuck folders.
Give it a fuck.
And if today is the 15th, you're not worrying about what's in 17.
No.
Zero fucks for 17.
And then after you're done with doing whatever you need to do on the 15th, which is today, then you can just watch You season 2 for the rest of the day.
Yeah. If your procrastination is due to you overestimating the number of tasks you can get done in the time available,
always
write down everything that you did today and do that for a week. And average how many tasks you're actually able to get done in a day and limit your to-do list to those numbers.
I need to start writing some of this stuff down. Mm-hmm. Like 3 things a day.
Yeah.
And then if you have time to do more, 4 things a day.
Yeah.
Until
yeah.
you max out at 25 things a day and you're not sleeping.
And you're never sleeping. I know someone who, she has a job that is really strange hours.
Yeah.
And she knows that she can do 1 thing a day.
That's it.
Besides work.
Yeah.
And it is like 1 coffee or 1 appearance or 1, you know, business meeting. After that, nope, because that's all she can handle.
Have you ever considered just throwing your laundry in the bathtub and stomping on it? Like
I've done it.
Italian grape style?
I've done it. I always come to the conclusion that it is not worth my time because it costs, it's so much extra time wringing everything out, finding places to hang everything up, and then everything drips onto the floor. Some things drip dye. And it's just, you're like, I wouldn't so much rather.
I've done it before too.
Bring things downstairs.
In a pinch, I've done it before. So can I tell you something interesting about laundry?
Yes.
The one thing that everyone's like, oh, you need a washing machine to get your clothes clean. Nah. The thing that really gets your clothes clean is the heat from the dryer.
Wait a minute.
Am I blowing your mind right now?
So when I wash things and then let them hang dry,
they're not clean as the items that went through the dryer, because it's really the heat from the dryer that makes, like, really kills a lot of the stuff that's on there.
Should I be boiling my clothes?
You probably, yes. I mean, and take this with a grain of salt, but like things like towels and underwear and things that are really soiled, you definitely want to make sure you're putting those through a hot dryer, at least on medium heat.
Oh, man, I know. I just set them on fire. I mean, I will set them on fire just to get them clean.
Like, there's a lot of stuff you can't put in the dryer. I have, like, a whole category of things I can't put in the dryer.
I know.
Like, my yoga stuff really should go in the dryer, but you can't put that in the dryer. And I do. I mean, I do sometimes once it gets old enough, and I don't care if it disintegrates. But, like, my new stuff, I don't. And I don't know. Just some cool facts for you.
Thank you. Well, there's some more in these articles, but I just wanted to sort of give you that overview. I will link those articles in our show notes if you want to dig into it deeper. But like, I think the number one takeaway is seeing your stress.
Let's do another one, Bethany, for the cheap seats in the back.
Okay. So
washing dishes.
Oh, God.
Washing dishes sucks so much.
Washing dishes. I gotta put them away and I don't know how to do it.
And my sponge is kind of dirty and I'm making dishes that aren't that dirtier with my sponge. It's giving me anxiety.
Burn down the house. So Kathleen, I cut all of my hair off like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And since then I've been trying to grow it back out.
Yeah. And you want products that are suited just for you.
Yeah. And Kathleen, you have different hair than I have. Mine is slightly wavy and yours
thicker.
Is straighter.
Yep. Yeah. Mine is straighter and thinner.
And that's why Kathleen and I have decided to partner up with Pros.
Pros is this amazing hair care company. You go on the website, you take their consultation, you answer a few questions, and they come up with a hair care line that is suited exactly for what you need.
Most hair product companies don't actually actually get you. That's because a lot of those brands, they generalize hair needs, which is why we switched. Pros makes truly personalized shampoos and conditioners. They've given over 1 million consultations with their in-depth hair questionnaire. That's how we get started.
Yeah, they ask you questions about your texture and about things that are not so obvious, like your zip code, the type of pollution that's going to affect your hair, your eating habits, how often do you exercise, the damage level of your hair, and your hair goals.
They take all of that into account when they're making up your formula.
We each get our own personal formula. It's the coolest thing ever. Since I've been using Pros, I've noticed that my hair is definitely softer.
And mine feels stronger.
You're looking a little fuller.
Also, if you're not 100% positive that Pros is the best hair care you've had, they will take the products back, no questions asked. They are vegan, cruelty-free. They use sustainable products and ingredients. We love Pros.
So Pros is the healthy hair regimen with your name all over it. Get a free consultation and 20% off of your first order today. Go to pros.com/taste.
That's PROSE.com/taste for a free consultation and 20% off. Working out is hard.
It is.
It's always been hard.
Even when it's easy, it's still pretty hard.
Bombas socks cannot change that, but they can make your workout more comfortable.
So if your resolution is to get fit this year, start it by getting the socks that will keep up every step of the way. I love the Bombas socks, the ankle ones, like the really tiny socks, because they have a little bit of rubber right at the heel, so my sock never falls down.
I love that. No sock slippage.
Mm-hmm.
You do a lot of different things to stay active. So Bombas made a lot of different performance socks, running, hiking, cycling.
And whether you're very into sports or just maybe planning on getting into sports, Bombas can help with performance socks and styles made especially for basketball, tennis, running, golf, and more.
All the kinds of sports ball. They're made with a lightweight poly cotton blend, which means that no matter how hard you are working, your feet will stay cool, dry, and comfortable, never sweaty.
Bombas socks provide support in places where you didn't even know you needed support, like your arches. Each sock is built with a special arch support system that's supportive, but, you know, not too tight.
Like a hug, but a foot hug.
Yeah.
Like a nice foot hug. And constantly pausing on your treadmill to adjust those twisted, bunched up socks is going to make you want to quit being on your treadmill.
Yes.
That's why Bombas are designed with left-right contouring and a Y-stitched heel so they stay perfectly in place.
Bet you never thought of that Y-stitched heel before.
It's the Y-stitch.
And ever notice that annoying toe seam that socks seem to have? That little ridge on the top that like always digs into your foot?
Uh-huh.
Bombas got rid of it. It's gone. Smooth sailing all the way for the top of your foot.
Did you know socks are the number one most requested item in homeless shelters?
Yeah.
Well, Bombas socks were created to change that. So for every pair you buy, Bombas is donating a pair to someone in need.
All you have to do is go to bombas.com/taste to get 20% off of your first purchase.
That's bombas.com/taste for 20% off. Bombas.com/taste.
Weird news bulletin board 2020.
I'm thrilled.
Can we have your boyfriend, Dinas, make us like a jingle for your weird news bulletin board?
Yeah.
Because this is the first time we're ever doing this, but Bethany and I were talking about like this being a reoccurring segment.
Yeah. Dennis, this will be a good test to see if Dennis listens to the podcast.
Oh.
Dennis, make something. Make something. Something like, I want like a guitar lick. I want like an electric guitar lick. And he has many electric guitars hidden somewhere in his place. I know, because he pulls them out every once in a while. Where do they come from?
I don't know.
But he got them.
Yeah, he does.
And I want a lick.
Yeah.
I want a guitar lick.
We want a jingle. Dennis, you are a podcaster and a musician.
Yeah.
So thank you in advance.
Yes.
Okay, so I have a couple of, I'm going to go down the list.
Okay.
Carjacker accused of kidnapping sleeping passenger and a goat.
Is the goat okay?
Everybody's fine.
Okay.
In Missouri, a pickup truck pulls up outside an adult video store. The driver gets out and goes inside, leaving behind a sleeping passenger and a goat.
Why was the goat there?
Because it's the passenger's pet, apparently.
Oh, I hope it's like a mental health goat.
And then along comes a carjacker. He was allegedly methed up, and he stole the car with the person sleeping and their goat.
Oh, my gosh.
And the passenger awakes at gunpoint.
Oh.
And the carjacker drives all the way from Missouri to Kansas and then into Oklahoma before letting the passenger out of his car.
Jeez.
Now, the passenger was able to call 911 and the authorities were able to slow down the car and capture the carjacker in a place called Sand Springs, Oklahoma.
Okay.
And I looked this up on a map how long it would take to get from Missouri to Sand Springs, Oklahoma, more than 2 hours long.
Yuck. Yuck.
Like, it's a long ass drive that this guy just stole this car with this person and this goat. And some reports say that the passenger at one point was pistol whipped, which is awful. But the Sand Springs Police Department said on their Facebook, okay, 2020, it only took you 4.5 hours to get weird. Let's slow down on the carjacking and the goat napping calls for the remainder of the year.
Yeah, especially the goat napping calls.
So weird.
Be nice to our goats.
I mean, first of all.
What?
He pulls up outside of an adult video store. Like, did the person just leave the car running? Like,
also, yeah, that's probably a really good question.
But it's the year 2020. We need to...
You can get all of that on the internet.
Just don't... You can get all that on the internet. Don't leave the car running no matter where you're running into.
Yeah, and also, like, if your goat is in there, don't leave. I mean, just don't.
I'm glad that the sleeping person stayed behind with the goat.
Yes, like, me too.
Because you shouldn't leave animals in cars alone.
Correct.
It shouldn't happen. But no. It's just, I can't believe adult video stores still exist.
I'm surprised. There are many that are thriving in my neighborhood. And I wonder what it
is. Here in New York?
Yeah. And I wonder what it is that they sell.
That you can't get online.
You can get all of those on the internet.
It's very strange.
And you don't have to look a person in the eye when you buy them.
I mean, I can't even imagine going to a store to buy a video. I know.
Where
people,
do you put the video?
People do Redbox on the way out of the grocery store.
Yeah.
I don't do that because I have every single streaming service available to me. Why would I do that?
I use my DVD player for the first time over the weekend in a year.
What? I used a VHS player over the weekend.
Shut up. Where did you find this VHS player?
I found an old TV in my mom's house that had a VHS player built in. And then I found this like really weird video about attracting bucks when you're deer hunting. And I watched it with my brother. It's weird.
I don't know. What animal do you have to cover yourself in their urine to attract them?
Speaking of animals, scientists are painting zebra stripes on cows.
Why? Why? This is amazing.
Why do zebras have stripes? Have you ever thought about that?
To blend in.
What in the African continent in nature is black and white? Nothing. Have you ever thought about this?
I never thought about this.
So scientists Charles Darwin and Alfred Russel Wallace first speculated that zebras had stripes to camouflage themselves, to confuse big predators, or to help able identify themselves to other zebras.
Oh, yeah, I did read that. We're like, okay, if a bunch of zebras are all standing together because of the stripes. You can't tell one zebra from another.
Something like that. Yeah.
And so it was like you're safer in herd.
That aside, scientists are now saying that, or they're agreeing rather, that the main function of a zebra's stripes is to ward off biting flies that can carry deadly diseases.
Oh, why? How?
Okay. As just one example, in the year 2019, a study found that horses wearing coats, so like fabric coats,
okay,
with striped patterns, attracted fewer flies than horses without any covering or horses wearing materials without stripes.
Okay. Okay. Who got to be the lucky vendor to create striped horse coats? Like, hey, Madeline, I know that you make artisanal. I know you make bespoke wedding gowns,
uh-huh,
but I really need you to take these bolts of fleece and make some horse jackets. And she is like,
horse jackets with zebra stripes.
Yes. Yes. This is the best. This is what we should be funding people.
I know. So it seems like a reasonable theory that zebra stripes can function as insect repellent, right? Because it's working for horses.
I don't know why, but sure.
Because of this, scientists have been experimenting with painting cows with zebra stripes. So medicalnewstoday.com writes, biting flies are a serious concern for livestock owners because they affect the cattle's behavior. They can lead to economic losses. The presence of biting flies reduces feeding and, I don't know what this means, but bedding down time, which can affect an animal's development.
Maybe sleeping?
Something like that. Also, when biting flies are present, cattle tend to bunch together to reduce the risk of sustaining bites. And this bunching behavior increases heat stress and risk of injury.
Aww.
Additionally, it can reduce weight gain and negatively affect milk production.
Oh, babies.
So like biting flies. I mean, have you ever been to the beach in the summer?
I tried not to.
Where the winds are blowing in the wrong direction. Ugh. And the flies come.
Ugh.
I mean, I know this happens in New Jersey.
This is why I don't go outside.
And these winds come and these huge black and green biting flies come. And it's like the worst. Now I know I'm never going to the beach ever again without my zebra cover up.
So are biting flies an actual, they're like horse flies.
Yeah, biting flies are, they bite people too. I mean, they live everywhere. So
because outside is scary as hell.
So scientists did this really interesting experiment with pregnant Japanese black cows.
Okay.
So Japanese black cows are, as they're named, black. And some were painted with black and white zebra-like stripes. Okay.
Okay.
Some of them were painted with just black stripes over already black fur.
Black on black.
And then there were some cows that were just left black, no paint, right? Okay. So the cows with the zebra stripes repelled more flies and had half the number of flies than the control group that was without paint and then the group that was painted with just black stripes.
And they looked fabulous.
And they looked fabulous. This unusual but seemingly effective technique might help save the cattle industry a lot of money. In addition to the financial benefit, it also helps reduce the use of pesticides because insects are quick to adapt to chemicals that humans design to try and kill them.
Do yourself the favor, gentle listener, of Googling Japanese black cows painted as zebras.
It's really the most... It's really the most amazing thing ever.
I mean,
it's so funny.
It is darling. And you can see the tape marks or whatever they're using to make the stripes. It is, you know, and they're really working. They're diagonal on the rump.
Yeah.
They're tall ways along the main body, along the belly, the chunky belly.
Do you think they hired an artist to do this? Do you think they went on Etsy and was like, who's good at painting stripes? They found someone who's like does oil paintings with stripes. Can you come and paint this cow for me?
Dude, I will volunteer you and I right now and we will do it. If you need us to come and paint your cows, we will come and we will do it for free.
I thought you were volunteering us to be painted and stand naked in a fly of biting flies.
I mean, obviously. Whatever you're into.
That's weird science today.
Dude, these cows are adorable.
So speaking of animals again, all my stories are about animals. Police in Florida responded to a distress call about a woman who was captured screaming, "Let me out." Turns out it was only a parrot.
What? Dude, they're smart.
So in Palm Beach County, Florida, police responded to reports of a woman being held captive at a private home. Neighbors could hear her yelling, "Let me out."
Oh, my gosh. Parrots?
When cops showed up to the home under question, they just found this guy sort of chilling in his driveway, fixing his car, and they discovered that the cries of help were coming from an overly vocal parrot.
Okay, but where'd the parrot learn how to say that? Because they literally parrot what they hear.
Yeah, that wasn't addressed in this article, which was, you know, fluff news.
What they didn't find was the woman in his basement who was screaming, "Help, let me out."
So the parrot, whose name is Rambo, was yelling, "Let me out, let me out. Ooh, ooh, ooh." Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
The whole thing was captured on this homeowner's Ring camera.
Of course.
Which is why I freaking love Ring. Mm-hmm. Do you know what? Something happened bad in my neighborhood.
Really?
Bad.
Like what?
Someone's box of flower bars were stolen.
That is the most Hoboken bullshit I've ever heard.
They were very angry, Bethany.
Of course. Flower bars are expensive. They're like $2.50 a bar.
It's crime in my neighborhood.
Jesus.
God, I love the Ring reports out in the neighbor's app. You can't really hear it.
No, but it sounds disturbing.
It sounds disturbing.
Where the hell did the parrot learn that?
The parrot. If you Google this, parrot Florida, let me out, you can see the Ring video. And the guy's like just chilling in his driveway while this parrot is screaming its head off from inside the house. And it's like, come on, man. Like,
that's crazy.
How is this not bothering you?
Wait, does he have the parrot with him?
It's inside the house. And then he goes into the house and brings the parrot out and shows the police that it was the parrot.
I found out where it is. Okay, so the person added, "Sometimes Rambo yells, 'Help, help, let me out.' It's something I taught him when I was a kid, and Rambo lived in a cage."
Oh, well.
And these parrots live forever.
Yes, they do. Thank you for researching my story better than I did.
I just hated the idea that like there was actually someone trapped in his basement that we were like not paying attention to.
On their Ring camera. I love Ring. I love it when I get a notification that somebody's at my door and it's really just a leaf falling from a tree across the street.
I get constant notifications from my pet camera and it is nothing.
It's nothing.
It's nothing.
I know.
It's like a speck of dirt and it's nothing.
But if you really want to have a good time, go on the Ring's actual website because they have a whole string of videos of people like being like, "Hey, punk, get out of my yard." And I don't know if they're staged or not.
They're Probably staged.
But it's the best thing I've ever seen in a long time.
Are they using the terms punk?
Yes. It's okay. Like, what are you doing? Get away from my house.
Punk.
And it's like some strung out guy like trying to go through this guy's like garden shed. It's like, come on.
Dennis got a new home security system.
Yeah.
And I was in his apartment. He had to run an errand. So he set it.
Yeah.
Even though I was in there.
Yeah.
And we have video of me just like being an asshole because it's movement based.
Yes.
And I was on the couch. And so as soon as he left, I got off and started jumping around knowing that he would get alerts and a video feed of what I was doing.
The sound is so annoying that comes through. All right. Next weird story.
Yes.
Gabrielle Union was taking an Uber on New Year's Day.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that she was coming back from a New Year's Eve party or whatever.
Sure.
And I don't know if the Uber driver knew who she was, but they pull up to her house and he's like, can I use your bathroom?
What the hell?
He like really, I guess it seemed really urgent that he had to use the bathroom. So on New Year's Day, Union told Twitter followers how she responsibly took an Uber home rather than getting behind the wheel after a long night of celebrating. And that she was also feeling particularly hospitable because she let the Uber driver use her restroom.
Okay.
What she didn't expect was that the Uber driver was going to feel comfortable enough to poop in her home. So apparently he was in the bathroom in her house, the house that I'm assuming she shares with her husband, Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
Basketball?
I think it is a type of sports ball.
Sports ball.
Basketball-ish.
And the Uber driver was in the bathroom for like 15 to 20 minutes. But here's the thing.
He's probably vegan.
Here's the thing. He probably was vegan. He had a lot of roughage. She did do a good thing.
Yeah.
And if her husband is around and maybe they have security at the house.
I'm sure she has security.
I can't imagine that if they didn't have some sort of security system or security guard physically living in the house that she would just let this Uber driver in. She probably was a little bit intoxicated. But then why go on Twitter and like shame a guy for using and writing the actual word Uber? Now, let me pull up this tweet here. I have a link to the tweet.
I hope she didn't like name him.
She didn't name him. Uber was quick to respond and she didn't actually tag Uber, but it was spelled all capitals UBER. I'm sure Uber people are searching their word on Twitter all the, you know, their name on Twitter all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I mean,
it's a weird story.
I mean, if you have to go to the bathroom, you have to go to the bathroom. It's not like he stole something.
Yeah.
It's just he had to go to the bathroom.
And like he was desperate, you know, and
it's that or go on the side of the road. Frankly, I had an Uber driver pull over to the side of the road and go to the bathroom on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And like, I just sat.
You just sat in the car
waiting while he
peed. It happens.
You got to do it. And if you have to number two aggressively, it's an emergency. What are you going to do?
I personally wouldn't ever let an Uber driver in my house because my house is very messy. I wouldn't want the Uber driver to know how I live.
If I lived in a home, I wouldn't let someone into my apartment.
I wouldn't let anybody in, period. I
just don't feel safe.
Speaking of pooping, Bethany,
this comes
from the land of Wisconsin.
Oh, yay. Mystical, magical land.
An English teacher who is now retired, because he was forced to retire after this happened, I believe, was fined for repeated pooping in the park.
Wait, what part of Wisconsin is this?
Natureland Park in Whitewater, Wisconsin.
Oh.
Wisconsin. I'm such an outsider. I'm very sorry.
You say it as though it's pronounced W-E-S-K hyphen H-O-N-S-E-N.
That's how I say it because I'm from Jersey.
Wisconsin.
No, Wisconsin.
It's Wisconsin. Mm. Watch, it's my English teacher.
Was your English teacher's name Churchwell? That's the last name of this guy.
No. So
what happened was he was going to this park to like poop amongst the trees. Workers, people who take care of the park, were starting to see used toilet paper left behind.
Oh.
And then they started taking pictures of him when he came to the park to defecate. And then they got pictures of his license plate. And so they turned everything over to the police. And when he got pulled over, the cops said to him, do you know why you're being pulled over? At first, he acted like he didn't know.
Yeah.
And then they said, would you like to see the photos? And allegedly, he hung his head and he just said, going to the bathroom.
Oh! Do they say why he was doing it?
He just likes to do it.
It's like a
weird
thrill.
Fetish.
Because I get it. So after my parents got divorced and my dad and my sister and I moved into like this little apartment, the plumbing was really cheap and bad.
Yeah.
And so if I had to go to the bathroom, I would go across the street to Shopko.
Really?
And I would go to the bathroom in their bathroom.
Really?
And so part of me wonders if his plumbing was bad and if he had to like deuce it up in a park.
No, but he said he just liked doing it. Can you imagine that's your English teacher?
No one wants to imagine their English teacher deucing it in a park.
I don't know. Some people do. People are into all sorts of weird things.
I mean, look, it's the natural way to do it.
Yeah, but he was leaving behind toilet paper. Like, if you were digging a hole and then fertilizing trees to help them grow, that's one thing. But you're leaving behind your toilet paper.
Yeah, you have to dig a hole and bury it. You can't leave a phantom duke.
No. All right, two more. In Utah, a man's McDonald's burger turned 20 years old, and it still looks new.
Oh, that's frustrating and
so
gross.
So we first heard about this guy. His name is David Whippy.
Whippy.
He went viral in 2013 because he forgot about a McDonald's burger in the coat in a coat pocket for 14 years. And when he took it out, it was like, still perfectly intact. Turns out he bought the McDonald's burger at a McDonald's in Logan, Utah to use as a part of a presentation he was giving on enzymes and deterioration on July 7th, 1999. He put this hamburger in his coat pocket, forgot about it until 2013, took it out and was like, holy hell.
How often was he not wearing that coat?
I know.
Apparently?
I mean, can't imagine a coat that I didn't touch for that many years. But I live in apartments and I move around a lot. So.
That's true. He may have just had like a thing.
So, yeah.
Like a box.
So after 2013, when he rediscovered it, he's like, I'm going to put this away again.
Got to.
Like, revisit it when it's 20 years old. So he puts it in a tin that's painted like a Big Mac, and he doesn't take it out again until this week, the first week of January 2020. The burger still had the same appearance as it did when he bought it. The only difference was is that it smelled like cardboard.
Oh, God, that's so gross.
That's it. Bethany, there's no mold. There's nothing. And so I like did a little research on this, like, why doesn't McDonald's food rot? Because there are like quite a few Google articles out on this topic. And Ripley's, you know, Ripley's, believe it or not, they did a whole experiment on it. And apparently there's not enough moisture in McDonald's foods.
Really?
So they don't grow mold.
I would think it's like there's so many preservatives that they...
It's all about moisture. That's why fruits and vegetables are the first things to rot because they're basically all moisture.
Yeah.
So the less moisture something has, you know, I don't know. What's the longest thing that you've ever had in your fridge?
Oh, God. I had some type of artichoke dip.
Yeah.
In the back.
Did it grow mold?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, dips have moisture. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What about you?
I still have my prom corsage. I shit you not, I have my prom corsage.
Who are you? Why?
I'll tell you why.
I'm going to wet my pants. I have to go to the bathroom so bad, but I am staying here to hear this.
Okay, so I'll tell you why. It's kind of like the saddest story ever. So my senior year prom date didn't have a lot of money, and I asked him, he was my boyfriend at the time, I said, will you come to prom with me? I said, I will take care of everything. I'll pay for your tux. Like, I don't want you to feel any sort of pressure about having to pay for everything that we have, whatever. But.
Yeah.
So I even ordered my own corsage. And... I sent my dad to the florist to pick it up, and my boyfriend at the time had also ordered me a corsage because he thought, oh, if I'm going to do one thing, I'm going to get her a corsage.
Oh, that's sweet.
On his way into the store, he sees my dad walking out.
Oh.
So he goes in, and he picks up the corsage, and the day after prom, he's like, listen, I didn't bring it on prom because I know your dad was picking you up a corsage and you wanted to take care of everything, you know, but here's the one I bought you.
Oh, that's really sweet.
And so the one that he got me, I put in my parents' fridge. I never wore it, and it's been there ever since. And I went to prom in the year 2004.
Does Neil know that you still have the corsage that your ex-boyfriend
gave you? And he thinks I'm a weirdo.
Yeah.
Bethany, please go to the bathroom.
Okay, I'll be right back. Oh, I'm going to wet my pants. I'm going to wet my pants. I feel better. Thank you for allowing me that time to go to the bathroom.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
It took forever because I am wearing a bodysuit and the snaps on the bodysuit are strangely placed. And so you really have to like work to get it back on.
Girlfriend, in the year 2020, we are just scraping by financially. And the last thing we need from Audio Boom is a cleaning bill. So you go to the bathroom whenever you need.
Oh, thank God Audio Boom doesn't like have a really close bathroom.
Let's talk about drones in Colorado.
Kathleen, this is bonkers USA.
It's so weird that this is happening in America. So swarms of drones, mystery drones, are flying over Colorado at night in rural eastern Colorado and even western Nebraska since mid-December.
Okay.
Typically between the hours of sunset and midnight. Authorities do not know where the drones are coming from.
So, like, local police.
Local police.
Okay.
They don't know where they're going or what they're doing.
Okay.
They often fly in groups and travel along coordinated grid-like paths.
Okay.
An estimated 30 drones are flying out there every night in rural eastern Colorado, according to Michael Yowell, a sheriff's captain in Lincoln County.
Okay, so he's talking about them.
Yeah.
And admitting they don't know what they are.
Yeah. Even the governor of Colorado is admitting that he doesn't know what they are.
So the government isn't saying don't talk about this. It's a high level security secret.
Colorado Governor Jared Polis pledged last Thursday that he was going to get to the bottom of these mystery flights and ensure that they aren't putting people or property at risk. It is certain that they have caused quite a bit of stir, he said in a statement, because people are calling into the police departments of these rural counties in Colorado every night reporting them.
And it's creepy, probably.
And I was even watching the video of a girl who was in Colorado visiting her parents over the holidays, and she was taking video footage of this drone in the sky, and she was narrating. And because it's so dark, you can't even really tell that it's a drone other than it's a light that's flying around, that's not a star. It's obviously brighter than a star because it's closer.
Yeah.
And she said in the video she could see, like, you know, it would hover and then it would drop and it would go back up. And sometimes the lights turned red and it looked like maybe vaguely she could see, like, something mechanical happening on one side of it.
There's something so unsettling about something that hovers.
It's just...
Why are you hovering?
It's just weird. Now,
I don't trust a hoverer.
M. Night Shyamalan filming something in Colorado that he hasn't told the officials about?
No, because this is actually scary.
It is very scary.
Ooh, Shyamalan burn.
Washington... He's got a new show out.
What is it?
On Apple Plus? M. Night Shyamalan's got a TV show on Apple
really?
Plus. Yeah. I've been meaning to watch it. I'm going to get my 1 week... streaming free, like when I have a week where I don't have a lot to do,
yeah.
And then watch everything that I need to watch.
By the way, when there was some M. Night Shyamalan movie that came out after Sixth Sense, doesn't matter what it was, this was years ago, my aunt saw it. She was like, did you watch the new movie, you know, Happening? Yeah. Can you explain those chumalucks? What?
Chumalucks?
Isn't it about the chumalucks? I was like, what? Turns out she just knew the name Shyamalan, had misremembered it, and thought it was like an alien in the movie.
Stop.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is my aunt. She's the same one who told me to stop whoring it up in New York and come back to the Midwest.
The show is called Servant.
Ooh.
I've been like hearing good things about it.
Are there chumalucks in it?
There are.
You're real scary. I heard real bad things about those chumalucks.
Stop whoring it up in New York City, Bethany.
I know this is your grandfather's funeral, but you come back home. You get it out of your system and you come home. My grandfather is dead, not 10 feet away.
Oh, my God. Oh, God bless family.
God bless family. So what are they? So do they hypothesize what these drones are doing or who they come from?
What
their mission is?
They quite literally have no idea. And even Washington County Sheriff John Stivers, he told Channel 9 News that his office has received reports that some of these drones are larger than 6 feet in diameter.
Ah, that's taller than my dad.
This is a report from the DenverPost.com. On a desolate road just north of Lyman, something like that, a place in Colorado, the sky is lit by stars and a waxing crescent moon.
Ooh.
And then a small set of red and white lights blink rapidly, punctuating the rural Colorado landscape. The aerial object travels briskly across the sky at several hundred feet above the fields and wind turbines. Minutes later, another one creeps out into the horizon, and then another one, and another one. Commenters have said that it's the Mexican drug cartel, you know.
Oh.
Another commenter said that it's obviously aliens from a galaxy far, far away.
Clearly.
Perhaps someone else's theory is that it's the History Channel looking for lost cities.
I mean, yes.
Or ranchers trying to track their cows. But like 30 drones every night working in a grid-like pattern. This is not ranchers trying to track their cows.
I mean, it could be. So the FAA even says they don't know what it's about.
They don't know. So today, this Monday, local and state officials are going to meet to, like, try and get to the bottom of this. This is from denver.cbs.local. They're saying that today, law enforcement and government officials from the state and local levels in Colorado are going to be meeting to figure out what these drones are and make Colorado residents feel less uneasy.
Okay, so you said, okay.
It's a closed-door meeting, but then they'll come and give us reports after.
Okay, A of all, do you think they're going to be honest about what they talked about? Know. No,
The FAA says they have no idea. I mean, nobody knows what it is.
Okay, two things. Number one, you're the only one I know who can pronounce the word rural.
Rural?
Well done.
Is that not?
It's a rural juror. It's a hard word.
Oh, I thought you were making fun of me, like I was saying it incorrectly.
No, you're I can't pronounce it. You can.
Oh, thank you.
Rural.
Oh, secret talent.
Woo! I can pronounce the word rural.
Let's enter a talent show.
Number two, here's what I think it is.
Yeah.
Because it is a rural area.
Yeah.
I think that there are probably government bunkers underground.
Okay.
Don't give me that look.
No, I mean, it makes sense, Bethany.
If you've read Raven Rock, the most fascinating, boring book ever, it is
a glowing review.
Yeah, there are probably things underground that other people are trying to discover what they are, and that these drones are trying to somehow subterraneously map the underground government tunnels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the drones can see through the ground.
Well, I think that they can. I mean, there's certain machines that can, like, they used it on Ghost Adventures once to see if they could find a tunnel. And did they? They did. It, like, sends pulses down into the ground. And depending on how the pulses bounce back, like a bat, you can see if it hits something. And if it hits something, tunnel.
I hope it's aliens.
It's not aliens.
I pray to God it's tiny, tiny little aliens and 6-foot drones.
I mean, we know they're drones, so not aliens. They're drones.
Who says that a drone is not also a spaceship?
I say it. It's not. It's a drone.
Do you know what a really smart alien would say? Let's make ships that look like human drones. We'll really confuse the hell out of them.
I think people are looking at underground tunnels.
I think it's the government. I think it's the Air Force.
I think.
It's the Air Force. It's definitely the Air Force.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
Probably. And if the FAA is saying nah, they're probably like, yeah.
I looked up the closest Air Force base to Colorado. I believe that it's in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
How far away is that?
It's not that far.
Far enough that
I mean, it's closer than New Jersey.
So what do you think they're doing?
And I just think that they're doing stuff.
What kind of stuff?
I think that they're, like, testing out drone techniques in rural areas, thinking nobody would notice. And then someone fucked up and put 30 in the sky in one single night.
Can you imagine if Zach Baggins and the Ghostie Boys are, like, filming an episode of Ghostie Boys and they see all these drones? They're like, dude, they're ghosts because they're clearly orbs because they're blinking lights, and this is not an insect because that's an insect and we debunked it. Debunked.
Can you imagine Walmart had a sale on drones and like 15 teenage boys were like, yeah, man, let's get drones. And then they've caused like such a stir.
Because you're in rural Colorado. What are you doing?
And they don't want to tell anyone that it's actually them.
They're so ashamed.
It's like, what are those scooters with like motors on the back of them? What are they called? Like not a moped, but a whatever. It's a motorized scooter.
Yeah.
My brother and his friends all decided, like 15 boys, they all decided they were going to get motorized scooters.
Nice.
At the same freaking time.
Yeah.
And then traveled in a pack and then caused noise pollution. And then the town had to like make an ordinance that they were illegal because that's what teenage boys do.
Yeah.
And so I think that this is teenage boys.
You're probably not wrong.
One got a drone. The other one was like, cool, I'll get a drone too. And they all have drones and they all are probably like on each other, talking to each other on the Snapchat and like sending their drones in the air and like, oh, I'm so funny, man.
They're chatting on the TikTok.
Everybody thinks we're aliens.
You know, you're probably not wrong because look at the timing of this. It's right after the holidays. Yes. So their parents probably got them one for Christmas during Black Friday.
It's been happening since mid-December. So Black Friday. Yeah, Black Friday.
Black Friday.
There you go. I think I have it solved.
I think you solved it.
So right now it's an unsolved mystery. So we will find out shortly because the official meeting happened today. But
it's probably boys.
It's yeah.
But my hope is that it's government.
It's the Air Force.
Kathleen, my nipples are out now.
Are you wearing your third love bra?
No, because all of my laundry is needing to be done.
Yeah.
And I refuse to wear any bra that's not third love.
I know.
So I'm not wearing a bra right now.
I am wearing my third love bra right now. Listen, if you have been listening to this podcast for some time now, Bethany and I have talked about how much we love Third Love because it is the bra company that is here to change your life. All you have to do is go to thirdlove.com and you take this quiz. And this quiz asks questions about your breast shape, you know, what your current bra fits like. You have to be honest when you take this quiz because you will come out of it with the best bra of your life.
There are questions like, are your breasts two different sizes or two different shapes? There are questions that you just wouldn't think of.
Yeah.
But they all go into how your bra fits and what kind of bra you should be wearing.
And every bra is backed by their perfect fit promise. You have 60 days to wash it, wear it, and if you don't love it, returns are always free.
And you know, Kathleen and I are really about everyone feeling good about their body.
Yes.
That's why we love Third Love. They have over 80 bra sizes.
Yep.
So that it's not just you trying to fit into the pre-designed sizes.
And I'm a half size. Like, you can't go to the mall and be like, hey, do you have a half size? It doesn't exist at the mall.
No.
But it exists at thirdlove.com.
They will slap you across the face at the mall and be like, who do you think you are?
And they'll make you feel shitty.
Don't feel shitty.
No, go to Third Love.
By the way, so far, Third Love has donated over 15 million bras to women in need.
Third Love knows that there's a perfect bra for everyone right now, and they are offering our Acquired Taste listeners 15% off of their first order.
So go to thirdlove.com/taste right now to find your perfect fitting bra and to get 15% off your first purchase.
That's thirdlove.com/taste for 15% off today. Bethany.
What, Kathleen? How dare you? What?
Hair trends for the year 2020.
Oh my God, please tell me it's a poofy bang.
Scrunchies.
Yeah,
scrunchies.
Totally.
Are you down with the scrunch?
Yeah, I mean, it's the Visco Girls brought it back.
Bethany and I behind the scenes have been talking a lot about Visco Girls
these
past couple of weeks because I'm kind of obsessed. I'm way too old to be a Visco Girl.
But like you are, I feel like you're a Visco Girl supporter.
I'm a Visco Girl supporter.
Yeah, like you're an ally.
I'm about to buy a Hydro Flask.
Yeah.
I just bought myself a pair of Birkenstocks.
You know what? You do you.
Visco Girls love Birkenstocks.
They love a Birkenstock.
So anyway, scrunchies are back in. Would you wear a scrunchie? Do you wear a scrunchie?
If my hair was long enough to look good, yeah, of course, yeah, absolutely. If it was velvet, for sure.
I have a nighttime scrunchie.
Yeah, it's good for your hair. And if you have curly hair, my sister taught me, she wears like a silk satin scrunchie overnight so she doesn't have to rewash her hair and it doesn't leave a bend in her hair.
I don't know if I'd have the chutzpah to wear out in public, like as a serious look.
I think that we're too old to pull it off.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I hate that.
No, it's okay. Mm. With it comes perspective.
60s styles hair is in for this year. Bouffanti, yes. A lot of teasing at the crown.
I love that.
Yeah, this is all according to Refinery 29. A French twist updo.
Yes, I love that too. I just learned how to do them.
Really?
Yeah, much easier than you thought.
Where'd you watch a video on YouTube?
Sure did.
Huh. A lot of pins, a lot of hairspray.
Fewer pins than you would think.
Really?
The film that I was in that comes out later this year, Lonely Hearts,
yeah.
I wear a French twist in most of it.
Oh.
And we had to make sure it was consistent over 3 days. And it's literally just a low ponytail.
Yeah.
And then you start twisting the ponytail
up.
And it sort of twists itself.
And then bedheady tussle, like bedhead. Not too perfect.
Love.
I'm into this.
Yeah.
I'm very into texturizing spray.
It's the best.
Because I never want my hair to look too perfect.
Right. Unless you're doing the 60s look, in which case it's very smooth.
Yeah, but I love the texturizing spray because you just kind of mess it up. Mess it up and go.
I am trying this new thing where I'm not actually brushing my hair.
Well, your hair is kind of curly right now. It looks beautiful.
Thank you. So what I've been doing is showering, shampooing it,
yeah.
Putting a little conditioner in the bottom,
yeah.
Towel drying it, and then going. So I don't even brush it.
Amazing.
And I've been putting braids in it, like little random braids every once in a while
when I'm
bored.
Yeah, look at that.
And it's definitely hippie hair, but
yeah,
I definitely have
hippie hair.
I haven't brushed my hair in 3 days.
That's what I said. You look like a reporter in the Middle East, like you're in the field.
Like I'm hunkered down somewhere. Doing a report.
Bethany has this like scarf tied into a headband over her hair right now. It looks really cute.
It's a look.
You also have on a blazer, which is why I say you look like a field reporter.
Look like someone who's in a tough part of town.
Talk to me about this book that you have with you.
Yeah, I have this problem where I go into bookstores and then I just buy books that I don't know anything about.
I mean, well, that's how you support bookstores.
Yes. Uh-huh. So like my one rule is I will not buy books on Amazon as a rule.
Really?
Because Amazon shut down bookstores. Like Amazon started as a book website.
I know, but it comes to your doorstep. You don't even have to leave your house.
That's the one thing I won't buy on Amazon on purpose.
Really?
Because I want bookstores to stay around.
No, you're right about this.
So there's this little bookstore in my neighborhood. It's where I go to just browse and browse. So at one point I bought this book. I finished the book I was reading. I needed a new one. So I picked this one up. It's called The Art of Living, The Classical Manual on Virtue, Happiness, and Effectiveness by Epictetus. Epictetus was a Stoic philosopher from like BC.
Epictetus.
I think that's how you pronounce it. I went on Reddit to figure out how to pronounce Epictetus. No one can really agree on one. But anyway, so he was the Stoic philosopher. And so it's one of those books that's a little bit like The Prophet, where every page is a different lesson or a little writing on
okay.
a different thought.
All right.
And there's one that I thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
That
do tell.
your views on this will vary. Some people will love it. Some people will not love it. Okay, so this is on page 18.
All right.
It's called Care for What You Happen to Have. Here's what he says. Nothing can truly be taken from us. There is nothing to lose. Inner peace begins when we stop saying of things, I have lost it, and instead say, it has been returned to where it came from.
Huh.
Have your children died? They are returned to where they came from. Has your mate died? Your mate is returned to where he or she came from. Hmm. Have your possessions and property been taken from you? They, too, have been returned to where they came from. Perhaps you are vexed because a bad person took your belongings, but why should it be any concern of yours who gives your things back to the world that gave them to you? The important thing is to take great care with what you have while the world lets you have it, just as a traveler takes care of a room at an inn.
I love that.
I think it's very interesting. I think it's an interesting and potentially very helpful view on death.
Yeah.
I think that it's a less helpful view on someone stole my car.
Yeah.
Because, like, sometimes you need to get your car back.
Yeah.
Because there are strings attached to your car.
You've been making payments.
Right. But I think, you know, but this was written before cars.
Yeah.
Life was much simpler, I think. I like that in regards to things that we really can't own, like people and experiences.
Yeah, and releasing things.
Yeah. Back. I just thought it was really interesting.
Well, it was really kind of beautiful.
So again, that's the book, The Art of Living by Epictetus or Epictetus.
Epictetus.
E-P-I-C-T-E-T-U-S.
Are you familiar with No Buy January? It's like
No
this,
Buy January.
No Buy, so you don't buy anything.
Oh, B-U-Y.
Yeah.
No.
B-U-Y.
B-U-Y.
Yeah, so I have a bunch of friends who are doing No Buy January. And what you just read kind of reminded me of that is that, you know, treasure what you have, and then eventually it's going to go back to where it came from. And so No Buy January is kind of like the same thing. Like, you be happy with what you have at this time and don't buy anything else.
Yeah, and take care of what you have. Like, Dennis is Buddhist, and he has this book on Buddhism that talks about, like, once a week or once a month, go around your house and look at the things you already have and take care of them. So shine your floor, tighten the screws in your couch, like, you know, polish your chair.
I don't take care of anything that I own.
Like, take care of the things that you own. Mend your clothes instead of buying new ones. Darn your socks instead of getting new ones. Like, just take care of the things you own and tend to them lovingly. And if you invest time in that, we have such a wasteful culture.
Yeah, such a wasteful culture.
It's worth it to really look at the things you have and be mindful and take care of them.
Have you purchased anything yet in the year 2020?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
That stuff that's not food?
Yeah.
What have you purchased?
My pasties are coming today.
Your paste for your breasties?
Yeah, because I like certain things I can't wear a bra with, and so I have pasties, but they're like one time.
I think that counts as like an essential item.
My pasties?
Yeah. Like, what have you purchased, clothing or shoes or anything?
Yes. You reminded me, gentle listener, Kathleen and I and our friend Sam went to the Grand Canyon a couple years ago, and we needed all of this like gear. And so we went to REI and we bought a bunch of stuff, and we had like credits.
Yes, you get credits when you shop at REI when you like join their club or something. That's where I got my Birkenstocks. Aforementioned Birkenstocks.
I got a pair of brand new running sneakers for $4. That's what I had to pay, was $4 or $5.
Yeah.
Because I use makeup. So I bought those, and then
But did you buy them before the first of the year?
Yes. So no, I've definitely bought things.
You have?
Yeah. I bought books. I bought like 4 new books coming from eBay.
I haven't purchased anything.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that No Buy January was a thing.
I've purchased food.
Yeah.
And wine, which I'm counting as an essential.
Which is food. Yeah. Yeah.
But no, I haven't. I purchased a lot before the first of the year.
I think you stocked up. So
I stocked
up.
But yeah, I haven't purchased anything. Yeah. No Buy January.
I like that.
I mean, and if you've purchased something, you know, and now it's January 6th or January 8th when this podcast is going to come out, you know, you can start today and then just, you know, go until the 8th of February or something.
I think that's great.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. I think that's really good. Yeah. I haven't bought clothes or anything. I've just bought books. Like, I found this author I love.
You might be able to add that to the list of like essentials.
It's essentials. It's like it's my mental health time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Reading time.
It is.
Kathleen, what'd you learn this week? Exactly. I learned it's No Buy January.
I just told you that now.
I know. I just learned it.
I have learned from personal experience.
Yeah.
That don't leave a mess for your family after you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take care of your stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, like, in the same vein as taking care of your stuff, like, just don't have a mess of papers and whatever for people to sort through after you leave this earth.
Yeah.
Because I'm currently going through someone's stuff right now, and it's a mess.
It's a lot.
And it just makes me never want to do this to somebody else, right? Get organized now.
Figure it out.
Get organized now, so when you die, someone else doesn't have to clean up your shit.
You showed me before we started recording, ironically, this person had a book called How to Clean Everything.
How to Clean Everything.
And you found it amongst their clutter. I mean, the intentions are there.
What do you want to know how to clean, Bethany?
I would like to... Well, this is written in the 60s or
70s? No. This one's actually from 2006.
Oh, I want to know how to clean my fax machine.
Okay, fax machine. Electronics, does that count?
Yeah.
No. Fax machines! Bethany, yay! They have a paragraph. Okay, who the F needs to know how to clean a fax machine?
It's an older book.
Check the manual. This is it. Fax machines, check the manual. For most machines, it's recommended that you dust the housing. What's the housing? I don't know.
The outer container.
With a dry cloth to remove visible grime. And with a cloth that's moistened with white vinegar or an all-purpose cleaner, you can do the rest of it.
Is umbrella in there?
Umbrellas, page 23. I can tell you how to clean anything.
I've never known, because umbrellas by nature just get continually cleaned by nature.
Yeah, it's kind of like a car. You don't have to take your car to the car wash. It gets cleaned by the weather, by rain. Umbrellas. Use a sponge dipped in a mild detergent and water to clean canvas or vinyl umbrellas. Rinse with a hose and then leave open to dry thoroughly. Apply automotive vinyl finish to clean. Dry the vinyl umbrella at a blah, 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 blah.
That's someone who loves their umbrella.
I mean, Bethany, there's another half a paragraph about how to keep your umbrella clean.
Jeez.
You're right.
Hand me this book.
It is so weird that I found the book, How to Clean Practically Anything, in somebody's collection of hoarder items.
How to clean, what is this, a statue cover?
It's from Consumer Reports. I mean, anything you need to know how to clean.
How to clean hand soap.
If it was invented after the year 2006, I won't know how to clean it because that's when that book was published.
One more. I'm going to give you one more.
Okay.
Okay. For our 70s friends, Naugahyde.
Oh, I read that. I was reading about Naugahyde. Do you know those Kate Spade bags that came out in the 90s that everybody had? Was that Naugahyde?
It was probably Naugahyde.
The vinyl?
Yep. Naugahyde is a brand of vinyl-coated fabric used chiefly in upholstered seating like cars. It's what makes your thighs burn when you get into a car.
Is that like the type of seating that they talk about in every single country song?
Yes, Naugahyde. To maintain Naugahyde's luster and to prevent cracking, periodically spray the surface lightly with furniture polish and buff with a clean white cloth. To remove stains, use a solution of mild liquid detergent. I feel like they should cross-reference everything where you just need to use mild liquid detergent.
Mild liquid detergent.
Like, that's going to make this book about 3 pages long.
Don't spray directly on the fabric. Use a cloth instead. Naugahyde. So it's like that vinyl that looks like leather.
Yeah, it's like leather.
It's fake leather.
Ooh, they have DVD players in here. DVDs, in parentheses, digital video discs.
How do I clean my DVD?
I'll tell you. While DVDs are quite sturdy, large amounts of dirt and oil can affect sound quality or tracking. How you get in dirt on your DVD? Handle carefully, touching nothing but the edge or center of this newfangled contraption.
Newfangled.
Return to the case after each use. As needed, dust with a soft, clean cloth. If you noticed fingertips or dirt on the surface, wipe them off with a cloth dampened in mild detergent. Dry with a lint-free cloth.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned how to clean Naugahyde. I learned that if your cat gets a cut, first of all, you're going to be scared and feel like the worst parent in the world.
Well, where did your cat get a cut?
He needs to get homemade haircuts because he's traumatized. And so he was wiggling while I was cutting his fur and he got a cut.
No, poor baby.
Take a syringe that you would use to give oral medication. Fill it with some mild soapy water. And kind of drip it over it, like stream it over the cut so it at least cleans it.
Yeah.
Don't put like Neosporin or alcohol on it.
That doesn't belong on a cat.
And then obviously call your vet. But mine luckily was not actively bleeding. It was a pretty surfacey thing. But my God, it was awful. So yeah, step one, what I read on the internet and my vet seemed to be pleased with it is some soapy water.
Oh, feel better, Loki.
I know, poor guy.
Yeah, when your fur babies are hurting, you hurt too.
Ugh, I felt terrible.
Yes.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
Oh, God, that feels good.
Where can people find you on social media?
At WebGirlKathleen on everything. How about you, Bethany?
Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram.
If you want to follow this podcast, you can do so on Twitter, at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, at Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, check out our fan group there. There's some very lovely people hanging out.
If you want to send us anything, including limoncello.
Limoncello.
Including booze. P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
If you want to send us an email, you can do so at anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com. Our telephone number.
Yes, we have a telephone number. You hear our voicemails at the end of every episode. If you want to be a voicemailer, you can give us a phone call at 917-994-0353. Also, we have merch.
That's right.
You can get our merch. It's through the company Don't Forget to Be Awesome.
Yeah.
So the merch is at dftba.com. That's dftba.com. And then just search Acquired Taste.
Yep. You can also find that link on our website and Acquired Taste Podcast and in our on our Instagram profile, our link in bio.
Yes, there's those introvert sweatshirts are selling like gangbusters.
And if you have an idea for us for the merch collection and there's something specific that you would like us to design and make, by all means, shoot us an email.
Yes.
Next episode, we will be announcing the winner of our introvert sweatshirt giveaway.
Yes. All right, Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi, Bethany. Hi, Taste Buds. Happy New Year. This is Monica from Jacksonville. By the way, I love the whole 2020. It makes me laugh every single time. I wanted to share the thing that I'm the most proud of, probably for the rest of my life. Last year, I donated a kidney to someone I still don't know, but it saved their life, and they hopefully would do its thing for the next 20 years. And the reason why I toot my horn every single time that I can is because I just hope that other people know that it's a possibility and you can do it and you will save someone's life. Next year or this year, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't top that one, but I am buying a house. Have a great day.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. Taste Bud Michelle here. Listening to the podcast and talking about just how things in our lives get in the way of us living our lives. And this is something actually that I've discovered. I listened to some TED Talks and like podcasts about minimalism and just how we spend so much time with things in our home that it's taking away from things that we actually love. When I come home from work, instead of being able to snuggle my cute kitties and sit down and read that book, I walk in and see clutter. I see things that need to get done. I see chores. I see just things that consume my time. Here's the kick. The less things you have, the less things you are going to spend your time doing that you don't want to do. The more time you'll have to do those things that you're going to love, like snuggling the kitties.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Megan. So I just finished listening to the most recent episode about New Year's resolutions. And Kathleen was talking about those periods in time where you're just kind of thinking, oh, man, I just need to get through the next 2 weeks and then I can be on vacation or whatever. And that kind of reminded me of what I'm calling my New Year's resolution, but is really kind of more my new life resolution. So this past summer, I had a very close family friend who was diagnosed with cancer, and she passed away just 2 months later. It was 2 months from diagnosis to death, and I wish that I could take all the weeks and months that I've wished away in my life. And I wish I could take those periods of time and give them to her so she could have had longer than 2 months, because she deserved that. But I can't do that for her. So I decided that I'm going to start doing that for myself. I'm going to stop wasting away time and just wishing away time. And yeah, I know sometimes the week is going to suck and I'm just going to feel like, you know what, I just want this week to be over. But I'm just committing to myself that when I'm feeling that way, more often than not, I'm committed to just taking a step back and thinking, okay, is this really
the life that I want to be living.
Hey, Taste Buds, it's Jen from Jersey. I'm calling because I needed to share that my husband got an Alexa for Christmas, and I am not happy about it. So to all those Taste Buds out there that love their Alexa, I'm sorry, I don't. I think robots are going to take over the world, and I'm pretty sure that Alexa is going to eat our brains. So, Bethany, you are right on. Alexa's going to kill us all.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen, this is Lindsay from Miami. You asked us to tell you what our thing that we are most proud of from 2019, and the thing that I am most proud of is that I did not do one single diet this entire year. I have struggled with dieting and my body image and self-image for most of my adult life, and I made a commitment this year that I would not go on one single fad diet, and I stuck to it, and guess what? I did not gain any weight. I feel better about myself and my body, and I'm really excited about what this year has in store. Love you, ladies. Bye.
Hey, guys. It's Jackie. So I'm listening to the podcast, walking my two dogs right now, and I got so excited because you guys did a figure one question, and I'm in medical school, so I'm like, this is the most productive podcast listening dog walk I've ever done in my life. So just wanted to call and let you know, got the question wrong. Haven't gone over respiratory yet. Also, didn't realize it was pneumocystis pneumonia prophylaxis. I thought it was the treatment, which would be pentan-based. All right, I'm out of breath. I shouldn't be out of breath because I'm doing a simple walk.
Hi, Kathleen and Bethany, longtime listener and fan of both of you. I just listened to the new episode where Kathleen was saying about taking it one day at a time, and this is going to be my new mantra so far this year because 2020 has just not been my year so far. I lost an earring down the sink. I rolled my ankle at Taekwondo, and it's a really bad brain. Urgent care took so long that I had to burn a day of work. And to top it off, I had to walk my dog in the rain with a bum ankle, almost slipped. It's fine. But to anyone else that is having a bad 2020 so far, just think that you are getting all of your bad luck out of the way in the beginning and take it one day at a time. Thanks, ladies.